All right, so here, well, it's probably been a little bit more than a week that warnings for the storm, is it Ian or Ian? Ian. How come they don't spell it E?
The I is not pronounced like an I, it's pronounced like an E.
The English language is so confusing.
Sort of like
there, there's... But yeah, the warnings for that storm, you know, started going out, and if you think about, if we go back easily less than 100 years, maybe as far back, or not even as far back as 50 years, those warnings hardly existed. You know, people just, all of a sudden, there's a storm up on them, or they might have a day or two notice. You know, now we have weeks in advance, in a sense. So, you know, they see these storms pop up in the Atlantic and say, okay, this one's looking like it's actually going to cause some trouble in a few weeks. And it's not a case where we just simply hear about a storm's coming. You know, nowadays we've got very distinct warnings, depend on where you're at or where they think the storm might hit. They've got trackers now for how much rainfall in each area they're expecting, where the wind speeds are going to be in each area, and what the storm surge height, you know, could be. You know, how devastating could be. And you know, some of these warnings don't really affect us. Us living up here, not that big of a deal, is it? Well, is it? It's still nice to kind of hear about them because maybe we've got a relative that lives down there. We should all consider the fact that there's probably brethren in anywhere around the world. There's just someone that we should be praying for. But circumstances depend upon where we're at. Yeah. If you live in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, or you own some property in Florida, you're probably paying a little bit more attention to where the path is going. Same tends to happen with, what about warnings for volcanoes? Do we pay attention here very much? Not so much. Now, there is opportunity for some pretty good seismic activity out of the Kentucky area. I think Kentucky, Tennessee, isn't there a pretty good-sized fault that runs down there that we've had rumblings up here in a sense, but there's opportunity for that to be, you know, a little bit bigger in the future. But maybe it's one of those where we won't get that warning quite as big. They keep saying Yellowstone's going to fall off the map in a sense, you know, anytime soon. But again, we don't feel so threatened by them, so do we kind of tune some of those out? And just because we tune out some warnings doesn't mean that we don't like warnings. So how many of us have an alarm clock on the phone or beside the bed and use it? There's not enough hands going up. I understand some of us are retired, but even the retirees, every now and then, there's some place you need to be and you want to get there on time and be prepared for it, right? So you set some type of alarm, you at least put it on your calendar, but your calendar probably doesn't remind you, and then you go, oh, is that today? What about the smoke detector? What do you think of that alarm? Don't want to hear it, but if it's a good reason for it to go off, you want to hear it, don't you? Oh, man, she was right there within arm's reach. What about a flood warning? Barb knows about those. Did you get a whole lot of warning? You did, because you packed up things, kind of got things off the ground floor in one sense.
They kept closing the bridges.
Yeah. Yeah. A tornado warning. Those kind of come kind of fast, but it's kind of nice to know if we really should take some cover for the moment. What about the turn signal in the car? Is that a good warning?
Only if you
And if it's for more than one blink, right? What if we look at somebody and we go, are you feeling okay? Because you're a little bit pale or greenish looking. There's a warning sign, isn't there? Something's not right. Or just their countenance. We can see that they're not their happy selves today. Let's jump over to Leviticus 23. Verse 23. God spoke to Moses saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, shall there be a solemn rest to you, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no servile work, and you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Jehovah. So the first day of the seventh month, something I will bring up, one of the terms that is used for today is Rosh Hashanah. Am I kind of saying that right? Yeah. That term means new year. This is not God's new year. So I'll just kind of debunk that. And there's quite a few people around the earth that are celebrating today as a new year, when in fact it's not. And some of their reasoning is, well, this is, you know, kind of the height of the year, you know, but or they use it as the culmination of the financial side of things. It's kind of the new year, but it's not the new year. We're to do no work today. And it's a memorial of blowing trumpets, is how I just read it in the version I read from. But we are to convene. It's a holy convocation. But that phrase, a memorial of blowing trumpets. So it's not simply one word, it's the phrase, is Torah. If you look up the Hebrew on that, it is a loud noise. It can be a trumpet, but it can also be a shout. It can be an acclamation of joyfulness or exaltation, but it can also be an announcement or warning. And that's kind of what I want to focus on today. So we just sang, and hopefully you sang a little bit louder than normal, because part of today is we should be exalting God and thanking Him for this wonderful plan that He has included us in. But another aspect is we should be heeding the warnings, watching for the warnings, listening for the warnings, knowing whether or not the warning came from God. So why do you set your alarm clock? So that you'll be prepared and be somewhere at the proper time, right? God's given us multiple alarms so that we can be prepared and in the right place when He wants us to be. And today is one of those wake-up calls. Our Savior is coming on a day soon for a day of judgment. Are we prepared for that coming? We have the warning. But are we continually entering into atonement for our sins, knowing that He has washed them away, but realizing that we absolutely needed that washing and that covering, and still yet today? Are we growing daily, not just weekly, monthly, in the knowledge and the act of becoming righteous? Are we working on that? Because today, that's what God's trying to get us to remember, that He wants us to be prepared for holiness, righteousness. So daily, are we implementing more and more of God's will into our lives? Or if we look back, are we kind of the same that we were last month? 3 months ago? 3 years ago? We shouldn't be. Or are we backsliding a little bit? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. We kind of know this passage, but man, we really should know this passage. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 13. But we would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also that are fallen asleep in Christ will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we that are alive, that are left until the coming of the Lord, shall in no wise precede them that have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. There's going to be a great noise from heaven as Christ returns. We have to know that warning sign. Now, will it sound like a trumpet? Kind of like the one I kind of played? Up here? Maybe. Could be. Will it sound more like a ram's horn? Maybe. Will it sound like a fog horn? How many of you have heard, well, Dick and Norma, did you hear one of the huge ships, their horns, when you're up there at the Sioux? That's an awakening if you're not expecting it, aren't you, and you're close by. Yeah. Yeah, if you're not expecting it, that'll make you jump out of your skin. Maybe you'll sound a little bit more like that. It doesn't matter what the exact sound is going to be. It's phrased that it will be a sound that there's never been before. What's that? Yes, because even if we realize in short order what it's about, it will be so intense that, you know, yes, it'll rattle our bones, I think. Will Christ return on the Feast of Trumpets? If this is a day of trumpets, will he return on the day of trumpets? Some say he will, but he has to. What's Scripture say? Christ said himself, no one knows the day or the hour, only the Father. Could he return on trumpets? Absolutely. But don't be surprised if he doesn't. What are we looking for? The sound. We'll read here a little bit more about that, but with all the signs and warning God has given us, we will be able to know the season. That doesn't necessarily mean the season of year, but just the era of time. And I think pretty much all of us in this room are in agreement that I think that season's here. It's close by. Is it 3 years away? 50 years away? You know, I'm always curious. How many thinks it's less than 10 years away? You want to raise your hands? Just a couple now. That's surprising. So here, 3-4 years ago, 10 year, when I asked that question, the 10-year mark, at least 20-25% of the room thought it was going to be within the next 10 years. So now is things shifting a little bit? Maybe.
By scripture, he said 2,000 years, but again,
yeah, we don't know.
He himself said that he doesn't know.
Right. Let's keep reading in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. Then we that are alive, that are left, shall together with them be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. So today we're celebrating the warnings, the signs that God has given us of the past, especially the ones going forward, so that we will not be caught unaware. And so that we can comfort others as they take place. Let's go to Psalm 89. The heavens are yours, verse 11. Psalm 89, verse 11. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all that is in it. You have founded them. The north and the south, you created them. Tabor and Hermon joyously praise your name. You have a mighty arm, strong as your hand, and high as your right hand. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Verse 15. Happy are the people who know the festival shout, the alarm, the warning, the trumpet, the joyful shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. If we are hearing and heeding the warnings that God has set before us, we will be happy. That doesn't mean that some negative things are not going to take place. They are. But we'll be happy knowing that his return is at hand. Sadly, many are not listening or willing to change. Let's go to Joel 2. Joel 2, and starting in verse 1. Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Jehovah has come, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, there have not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more after them, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and none hath escaped them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so they do run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of the mountains do they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. At their presence the peoples are in anguish, all faces are waxed pale. They run like mighty men, and they climb the wall like men of war, and they march every one on his way, and they break not their ranks. Neither doth the one thrust another, they march every one in his path, and they burst through the weapons, and break not off their course. They leap upon the city, and they run upon the wall, and they climb up into the houses. They enter in at the window like a thief. And the earth quaketh before them, and the heavens tremble, and the sun and the moon are darkened, and the stars withdraw their shining. And God utters his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, and he is strong that executeth the word. For the day of Jehovah is great and very terrible, and who can abide in it? So this is a warning to the whole world, including us. It's not simply a warning of gloom and despair, because near the end, there is an opportunity for hope. But for those that have chosen to fight God, to turn against him, They're going to experience this. Let's keep reading verse 12. Yet even now, says God, turn you in unto me with all of your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth of him of the evil. Who knows whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto Jehovah your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the assembly, assemble the old men, gather the children, and those that suck the breast, and let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of God weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare thy people, O God, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Notice how that reads is the warning comes, and the warning is for atonement. Repentance. That if we're not hitting the mark, we can still turn to him and say, Father, I want you to help me through all of this. Take care of me through all of this. Keep me safe through all of this. Let's go now to Jeremiah 4. Jeremiah 4 and verse 19. My anguish, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the walls of my heart is beating wildly. I cannot keep silent, for I hear the sound of the trumpet, the alarm of war. Disaster overtakes disaster, and the whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are destroyed, my curtains are in a movement. How long must I see the standard and hear the sound of the trumpet? For my people are foolish, they do not know me, they are stupid children, they have no understanding, they are skilled in doing evil, but do not know how to do good. This is a really sad warning, because he very clearly says he's talking about his children, those that should know better, that should have been reading the warnings and acting on them, and they're not. So you've heard me ask it before, I'll ask it again. How is your study life? Are you reading his word every day? Have you read it through cover to cover once? And if you have, did you start again? How's your prayer life? Do you go to him for everything? Ask him, Father, what should I do next? I didn't see this one coming. Father, this seems to be a pleasant day. There's nothing on my radar that looks downward. It looks like everything's going well. Thank you so much for all the ways you've blessed me. Are you giving back to God all that he requires? Not simply talking about tithes. They're included. The first fruits. Do you give him all the honor and glory that he truly deserves? At every opportunity. You know, I've shared this before, but one of the things that I was challenged on here quite a few years ago was a challenge to thank God on a regular basis, over 21 days or a month, you could say. The first week, the first couple of days, as often as you can think of it, so maybe at the top of the hour, thank God for something. But no do-overs. If you thanked him for your family last hour, you don't get to use that one again. Find something else. The first couple of days, it's not too hard. Second and third day, you're starting to have to think a little bit because you've covered all the basics. About the third day, you have to thank him every single hour for something. And you do that for a week, now your mind really is working. And you're realizing just how often he is in your life. It's not once a year, a couple times in your lifetime. He's there all the time. And you're starting to realize that. But come about the third week, the challenge changes. Because every day, something that we really don't care for happens to us, doesn't it? Maybe we get caught by that train and we're already late for something. Maybe that coworker pushed our button a little bit harder than normal today. Car just broke down again. It's another $600. Something like that happens almost every day. The moment you realize that negative just entered your life, you have to thank God for something. What is it? And you spend the next 10 days or so working. You're still, as often as you can think of it, thanking him for something. But now every time there's a new challenge, you're also thanking him for something. At the end of the month, your relationship with God is drastically different. Back to Jeremiah 4, verse 23. I looked on the earth, and lo, it was waste and void, and to the heavens, and it had no light. I looked on the mountains, and lo, they were quaking, and all the hills moved to and fro. I looked, and lo, there was no one at all, and all the birds of the air had fled. I looked, and lo, the fruitful land was a desert, and all of its cities were laid in ruins before the Lord, before his fierce anger. For thus says the Lord, the whole land shall be a desolation, yet I will not make a full end. Global warming. Doesn't matter if it's happening or not. God just told us, he's not going to allow the world to be destroyed, even by himself. God has blessed us with warnings as to when and how will be the end. Are we familiar with those signs, and are we prepared for them? Matthew 24. We'll start in verse 3. Again, this is another one of those should be committed to memory chapters. It's not that you have to know it word for word, but you should just know in the back of your head Matthew 24. This is where I turn to get Christ's answer of what will the end time be. Matthew 24 and verse 3, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? So he had just been speaking to a larger audience, and he brought up the end times, but as usual, just didn't explain them well enough for the 12 to get a good grasp of him. And so now they pulled him aside after he's done with his sermon, in a sense. Can you give us some more insight into this? And this is his reply. Verse 4, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man lead you astray. That's the first words out of his mouth. Some guy's going to come along and want to turn you away from God. Don't let it happen. It's a huge warning. Do not be deceived. Deception is coming, or it's already here. The only way we can keep from that deception is to know the truth. So again, are you reading the truth daily? Do you know what the truth is? Or when the deceptive guy comes along, it's like, well, that sounds like it should be true. Yeah, I'll go with you. Verse 5. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and shall lead many astray. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war. See that you are not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, we just sang a song, If My People. Nothing wrong with that song. That's 100% truth. It's accurate. And we should do what it tells us to do. But we should know the rest of the picture. Because some right now are trying to teach that if we just voted right, prayed right, humbled ourselves right, all of this would stop. And we just read several passages where God says, it's not going to stop. So what did the song say? He said, if my people, I will heal their land. Who did God give land to? It's the only time in history he's given land away. And he gave them a very distinct area. That's the only land he's given away. The rest of it's still all his. And so when we sing that song, he truly is talking about his people, the Israelites, those of us grafted in. He will take care of us. That doesn't mean the rest of the world is going to be saved from what's coming. Doesn't mean that we should stop praying. But what he is doing right now is allowing things to culminate in ways where people's eyes are truly going to be opened. And sadly, just like me and some of you, it takes more than a 2x4 to the back of the head. Might need, by this time, might be a 2x10 or 2x12. A big old block of wood. But at some point, most of us get it. It's like, ooh, wait, I don't like what's been happening. I don't want it anymore. If there's really a God out there and he loves me, maybe I should ask him if he'd help me out. Because verse 6, again, he says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For these must come to pass, but the end is not. So we shouldn't be troubled by what God has planned. And it's dramatic, right? We just read of some armies coming through and wiping out the land, toasting it. Verse 7, For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and earthquakes in diverse places. So could an earthquake come across Michigan?
Yep.
How devastating could that be if it cut a swath between Lake Huron and Lake Michigan? Verse 8, but all of these things are the beginning of the travail, the birth pangs. Then shall they deliver you up unto tribulation, and they shall kill you, and you shall be hated among all the nations for my name's sake. And then shall many stumble, and shall deliver one up another, and shall hate one another. Again, he's talking about us. That some within us are going to turn on us and deliver us up. Are some of us going to be martyrs? Yeah, I think so. Kind of phrases it that way. But does that mean that we're not able to go through that? If we go back to Stephen and what he experienced, if we remember, and he knew what was taking place. He realized God had just put him in front of, in a sense, the best audience ever for the gospel. And that he had opportunity in his last words to share with that audience what they really needed to hear. And he did. And that first stone that hit him, I don't think he felt it. Or the second, or the third, or any of the others. He was just thankful that God had put him in that place at that time and used his mouth to say those words. Same thing for us. If we're put in that situation, it's only because God knows he has us ready for that situation. Some of us aren't capable of handling that kind of situation. He won't put us there. Verse 13, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. The word is endure. There's going to be a struggle to make it to the end. We truly are going to have to endure. So how do you build up your strength? With hope and faith. Realizing that God really is right here, right now, walking you through all the things that are coming at you. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a testimony unto all the nations, and then shall the end come. Am I a true disciple? Am I, at every opportunity, just like Stephen, am I able to tell the truth, God's truth? Do I know his word well enough that I can share it with whoever God puts me in front of? If I don't, what value am I to him? To them? Are we able to testify all of this in a manner that some will not only listen, but be convicted because they finally heard the truth? Verse 15, when therefore you see the abomination of desolation, which has spoken of in Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him that readeth understand. So again, we got to do some reading to understand. Then let them that are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop not go down to take out his things that are in the house. And let him that is in the field not return back to take his cloak. But woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. And pray that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath. For then shall be a great tribulation such as had not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, not ever shall be. And except those days had been shortened, no flesh would have been saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. So here we're blessed with a sign that God says he's going to cut the end short for our sake so that we can endure it. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here's Christ, or here, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. Here's a huge warning, a huge sign. So if somebody comes up and says, trust me, I am the Christ, I'll prove it. And parts the water. Parts Lake Michigan. Are you going to fall for it? Because for us to, the elect, to turn, we're going to have to see something pretty huge, right? It's not simply going to be a little distraction. We're going to have to see a sign or a wonder that is like that really catches us off guard. And that's what he's telling us right now. He's saying, it doesn't matter what they do, you can't fall for it. That's not me. And how do we know it's not him or when it's going to be him? Keep reading verse 26. If therefore they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the wilderness, go not forth. Behold, he is in the inner chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning comes from the east and is seen even to the west, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Here's our sign. The only way we know that Christ is returning and that's truly him is what takes place in the sign. There's going to be tremendous signs up in the sky. Things we've never seen, dreamt of. I mean, we've seen lightning shoot across the sky before, and that's pretty impressive. I think the lightning he's talking about here, I think it'll be lightning. We still have not seen it before. Verse 28, wheresoever the carcass is, there will be eagle. There the eagles will be gathered together. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send forth his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other. So a true sign of Christ returning, a great noise and signs in the sky that we've never seen before. Not anything here on earth. We'll know it. We'll recognize it. Right now we can't imagine it. But we will know it. We'll recognize it. We'll have no doubt. But until those things happen, we cannot be deceived by somebody else. For any reason. Verse 29. Verse 32. Now from the fig tree, learn her parable. When her branches now become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that the summer is nigh. Even so, you also, when you see all these things, know that he is nigh. Even at the doors, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things are accomplished. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In verse 36, but of that day and that hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. Again, keep in mind, this is Christ talking. And as were the days of Noah, shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days, which were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. The world right now is not looking for these signs. And even when some of them come, they'll just think it's another weather event, another volcano. They will literally keep going with their lives. You know, COVID kind of shifted our lives a little bit, but we really didn't shut down, did we? The world will be just looking to see how they can keep navigating daily life. But us, what will we be doing? Verse 40, then shall two men in the field, one is taken and one is left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One is taken, one is left. Watch therefore, for you know not what day the Lord comes. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what hour watch the thief was coming, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken through. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in an hour that you think not, the Son of Man will come. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he will set him over all that he hath. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord tarry, or is late, and shall begin to beat his fellow servants, and shall eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he expects not, and in an hour when he knows not, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So if Christ comes tonight, are you ready? Will he find you ready? Today, this Day of Trumpets or Feast of Trumpets is a wake-up call. It's a warning of our need for atonement, our need for a Savior, a memorial of all that God has done, that he's doing, and he has planned for us. For all of that, we should be making a joyful, loud noise, for we are greatly loved. Hebrews 9, verse 24, we'll finish up with this. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place, year after year, with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to once die, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him.